Morning. It's 11 minutes before 8 a.m. This is Morning Edition over Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka. Today is Wednesday, December 18th, 2013. I'm Melissa Marconi-Wenzel with Raven News. A veteran Sitka police officer is on paid administrative leave as he faces a misdemeanor wildlife charge. 48-year-old Sergeant Darrell Rice is charged with allowing his teenage son to fire 6 shots at an artificial deer from a boat. Alaska law prohibits shooting big game from a boat. Trooper spokeswoman Megan Peters says wildlife troopers routinely monitor wildlife decoys during hunting seasons to make sure hunters abide by state laws. Troopers in a charging document say the shots were fired December 7th in Nevis Strait. They seized Rice's rifles. Rice has been with the Sitka Police Department for 24 years. Police Chief Sheldon Schmidt said the city will conduct an administrative investigation when the criminal case is decided. Rice is scheduled to appear in court on January 7th. The National Endowment for the Arts has awarded only 6 grants in Alaska for the coming year, and Sitka organizations will receive 2 of them. The Sitka Fine Arts Camp and the Sitka Summer Music Festival will get $40,000 and $12,500, respectively. In a news release, the NEA's Deputy Chairman Joan Shigekawa said, whether it is through a focus on education, engagement, or innovation, these projects all contribute to vibrant communities and memorable experiences for the public to engage with the arts. Sitka Fine Arts Camp Director Roger Schmidt says that recognition from the NEA sends a message to potential funders.
It comes with quite a bit of prestige. It means that your program has achieved a level of excellence that's recognized at the national level.
The $40,000 award for the camp is twice the amount most programs receive. Although the application is highly competitive, both the Sitka Fine Arts Camp and the Sitka Summer Music Festival have a long history of securing annual NEA funding. The NEA Selection Committee favors programs with significant outreach, and both programs are strong in this area. Sitka Summer Music Festival Director Kayla Betcher says that over the course of its touring history, the festival has organized concerts in 33 Alaskan communities.
So what we've been doing since 1972 is bringing professional-level classical musicians to Alaska, and we're the only organization in the state that does that.
To continue sharing high-caliber music across the state, Betcher says the biggest hurdle is the cost of sending musicians to different venues. That's where the grant money is most needed. Sitka Fine Arts Camp Director Schmidt says the grant will help with financial aid and will serve a wide range of students across the state.
We serve all of Alaska, from the very smallest villages to our larger cities. I think this summer we had 37 Alaskan communities represented. I think that's really one of our strong points, is just the amount of students and the diversity of students that we serve throughout Alaska.
Betcher is pleased that this year's NEA funding is slightly more than last year. She says that's a good sign.
That's really a nice nod to from this national organization to the work that we're doing across the state of Alaska, I think.
The NEA awarded a total of $123 to 6 arts organizations in the state. Nationally, the NEA handed out $26 million to over 1,000 organizations. A newly appointed member of the Ketchikan City Council is facing criticism and scrutiny after a document surfaced this week that alleges misconduct while he was a teacher in Washington State. KRBD's Layla Carey has more.
One day after Russell Wodehouse was appointed to the Ketchikan City Council, he faced his first big controversy when a 2006 document surfaced indicating that his teaching certificate in the state of Washington was revoked that year following allegations of inappropriate contact with a female student. During a special council meeting to review the city's budget, Wodehouse made a statement.
A document is being circulated which to some would appear to be a court document. It is neither an official court document nor a finding of facts in any legal sense.
The document signed by then superintendent of the state of Washington's Office of Public Instruction, Terry Burgesson, does resemble a court document, but it is titled Final Order of Revocation related to Wodehouse's teaching certificate. Wodehouse received that certificate in 1999, according to the document, and worked for the Kennewick School District. Some of the allegations in the revocation document were related to Wodehouse's job as a drama coach. The document states that after cast parties or plays, he would let students stay at his home, and that a male and female student shared a room on one occasion. It also alleges that Wodehouse called and sent notes and gifts to a female student and allegedly kissed her intimately in his school office. The document also alleges that Wodehouse took a magazine quiz titled "Are You Good in Bed?" with a group of students. All of those alleged incidents took place in 2002 or 2003, and the document states that Wodehouse was placed on administrative leave in February of 2003. It also states that in May of 2004, Wodehouse was given notice of termination. Wodehouse declined to be interviewed for this report. In a written statement released to the media, he says that, quote, "The allegations contained in the document, which is an internal administrative paper, not a legal or judiciary document, are false. I was neither aware of these findings of fact, nor have I had an opportunity to respond, attend a hearing, or refute them after the initial allegations, which were found to be without grounds. I was not fired as a teacher from the Kennewick School District. There was never any litigation. I am consulting with counsel to seek legal remedies. I fully intend to remain on the city council as there isn't anything that prevents me from fulfilling my duties. I would like to thank my friends and family for their continued support." End quote. While some of the allegations in the revocation document would be criminal, a KRBD records check through the Washington Access to Criminal History website showed no criminal convictions for Wodehouse. Calls to City Hall seeking comment were referred to Mayor Lou Williams III. He says the revocation document has been circulating, and he first learned of it when it was sent to the Ketchikan Daily News. Williams is co-publisher of that newspaper. Williams says he knows who sent the document to the paper, but he declined to provide a name. He adds that he wishes the information had been available to the council before Wodehouse was appointed.
I wish we all would have taken time to Google people that are interested in the council, but, you know, we've never run into anything like this before, and everybody seems to know everybody. So it was a surprise. I've given the clerk instruction to make sure anybody that files for a position, at least we Google.
An internet search of Wodehouse's name does bring up the document, which was posted on the Washington Superintendent of Public Instruction website under the Office of Professional Practices. Now that Wodehouse has been appointed and sworn in, Williams says there's no official action that the council can take. The only methods in the city charter that allow for removal of a council member are a felony conviction or a certain number of absences from meetings. In Ketchikan, I'm Layla Carey.
It looks like Congress will finally pass a budget. A two-year spending plan easily cleared a Senate hurdle Tuesday, and it's headed for final passage today. Both Alaska senators supported it, but as APRN's Liz Ruskin reports, they're not entirely happy.
The Congressional Budget Bill is intended to establish the size of the federal budget and its general composition. This one sets spending at just over $1 trillion for next year. It rolls back about half of the sequester cuts. It also hikes user fees, including the fee airline passengers pay per flight. Senator Mark Begich says passing the budget will improve economic stability nationwide and in Alaska.
We see good funding for our military, which is important to Alaska. We see some of our agencies that manage some of our natural resource permitting processes are going to get funded. I think there's a lot of good stuff in there.
Begich says one of the worst things the budget does is diminish pensions for military retirees. It lowers their cost of living adjustment below the inflation rate until age 62. Begich says that fight isn't over.
We have to continue to work on that. Some of those don't take an effect until 2015. I'm committed to make sure we have minimal or no impact to our veterans.
The budget also reduces the pension benefit of other federal workers, but only for future hires, not so for the military. Senator Lisa Murkowski says it will affect troops who are serving now.
So it kind of goes back on the contract, the promise that we have made to our military.
Murkowski was one of 12 Republican senators to vote to advance the bill, joining all the Democrats. She hoped the budget agreement would cover more ground and cut entitlement spending, but those programs are left unchanged. Murkowski calls the budget a small plan, but an important one.
Probably first and foremost, it allows us to avoid a government shutdown, which I think is absolutely key and critical.
Once lawmakers pass a budget to set the top-line numbers, they can get to work on appropriations, allocating money to specific agencies and programs. Both Alaska senators are on the Appropriations Committee. The powerful panel has been stuck on the sidelines during the long budget stalemate. Now their turn is almost here. In Washington, I'm Liz Ruskin.
Senator Mark Begich has asked China's ambassador to the U.S. for help in lifting a recent Chinese ban on geoduck imports. Begich, in a letter to the ambassador, said the state of Alaska was told that China would ban imports of geoduck clams and similar shellfish amid reports that product samples from Southeast Alaska and the Pacific Northwest tested higher than acceptable limits for inorganic arsenic and paralytic shellfish toxin. Begich said state testing by Alaska and Washington found the product was well within acceptable limits and didn't pose any public health threat. Begich urged the Chinese government to work with Alaska, federal seafood inspectors, and the Food and Drug Administration to address questions over the conflicting results and to clear the way for trade to resume. And that's all for Raven News for this morning. It's 8 a.m. This is KCAW Sitka. 20 degrees in downtown Sitka. Should be mostly clear today with highs around 31. And northeast winds 5 miles per hour early in the morning, becoming light and variable. Increasing clouds tonight with a slight chance of snow in the evening, then snow late, snow accumulation 1 to 2 inches with lows around 29. Stay tuned for a local interview at 8:18. I'll be speaking with Sitka High School basketball coach Andy Lee and some of the players about the upcoming state tournament.
Alaska Pacific Bank is proud to support public radio, helping Southeast families and businesses with deposit and investment accounts, online banking, and cash management services. More information at alaskapacificbank.com. Member FDIC.
Stay tuned for National Public Radio. It's 8 a.m. This is KCAW Sitka.